Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth. It's so great to have you here. Today is Wednesday the 13th of February as I record this, and it's episode 17, so that's exciting. Today's guest is Ellie. Ellie's from the Netherlands, and she came to Tasmania on the word of the Lord, and that's a very cool story that's in the interview. And she has left Tasmania, so we recorded the interview in December, literally days before she left to go back to the Netherlands. And we recorded outside, which was really, really nice. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we were next to the rivulet in South Hobart. And you can hear a few bangs and clunks and maybe a little bit of background talking as people walk up the path next to us. We were sitting at a picnic bench in the sun, and yeah, it was really beautiful. I'm not sure whether it was the best place to record a podcast interview, but we did it anyway, and it was lovely. And yeah, I hope that the recording quality is good enough. It was an amazing time with her. So as I say in the show notes and a bit in the interview, we met down at our local shopping centre. Moz had taught Ellie's sons, and I didn't know Ellie from a bar of soap. And we met in the shopping centre. She was actually carrying around a bucket of bulbs, thinking, who am I going to give these bulbs to? And we were carrying around our takeaway dinner because it was a Friday night. We were coming home to have dinner, and we started chatting, and I thought, oh, this woman, she's amazing. Her faith in the Lord just pours out of every part of her, and I just had to have her on my show. So I did that and got to interview her just before she left. So that was awesome. So it's a great interview. It really is. It's just full of faith. It's full of God's voice and how God has spoken to Ellie in her life. This week in my life, well, today is so cold that I've actually put on my brand new puffer jacket. So if you're not from Tasmania, I have to tell you that those puffy, like quilted jackets, they're pretty much Tasmanian uniform. That's what we wear in the winter here because it's cold. And it's not usually this cold in February, but this week it is cold. And you know what? We're not complaining at all because we're hoping that the snow that's happening in our highlands is putting out the fires that were burning in our highlands just 2 weeks ago. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, the weather here is always fairly unpredictable, but this is crazy. Anyway, so that's one thing that I'm grateful for and only slightly whinging about is the fact that it's cold today. And the other thing that I wanted to tell you is about the big adventure I had on the weekend, because we had this tree, right, and it had like three trunks going down into the ground, not just one trunk. It had obviously an ant infestation somewhere in the tree because we tried to get rid of those ants and they wouldn't go, and it was hanging over our house. And so it was just a bit of concern every time the wind blew what was going to happen with this tree hanging over our house. It's lost a few limbs, narrowly missing bits and pieces on our house and denting our roof, and we decided we needed to take it down. So there were some tree trimmers working on one of our neighbors' places, and I got them to come and have a look at the tree and give me a quote, and they did, and the quote was astronomical. And so I thought, what am I going to do about this? Well, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to take the tree down. So we were talking to the family about it, and I had completely forgotten that Moz's brother had some tree felling experience, and also that he works in a place where he can borrow a truck with a really nice cherry picker on it and really huge reach. I don't know how high that truck went. It was amazing. Anyway, so the upshot of all of that is that Moz's family came down on the weekend, and we spent Saturday and Sunday cutting this tree down. Now, Yes, Moz and Paul went up in the cherry picker and did all the hard work. And Caleb worked with a chainsaw down on the ground, cutting up the branches into smaller pieces. And I, all I did was take some secateurs and just cut the really small branches off all the leafy bits. And I did that Saturday and Sunday afternoon and took things to the tip and bits and pieces like that, made food for people. And yeah, you know, it's all comparative, isn't it? It knocked me out. I was so tired on Monday. So the good news is the tree came down without landing on anything that it shouldn't have landed on. We had one near miss where we nearly hit our heat pump air conditioning unit at the back, but we didn't. And we didn't break any windows and we didn't hit the roof and everything came down beautifully. And so now we have a yard full of logs of wood. We have enough firewood to keep us going, I think, for the next 5 years or something. So that was all great. But yes, on Monday I was a mess. Oh, well, I wasn't a mess. I was just so tired I couldn't get off the couch. And I just lay there and did absolutely nothing all day. Rested. Total Sabbath. Complete and utter rest. And the exciting thing for me is that on Tuesday I woke up feeling great and got on with things again and had a great day yesterday just getting things done. So, yeah, that's exciting health-wise because I think in previous months it would have taken me a whole week to get over the weekend like that. But it only took a day this time. So yeah, if you want to see a couple of pictures, you can go to my blog at www.ruthamos.com.au, and the blog post has a before and after picture. And yeah, you can see the damage that we did or didn't do. So yeah, that was a big adventure for us this weekend. It took up the entire weekend, pretty much, except for church. And that was cool. Anyway, so that's my life. Next week, I hope that this podcast will be coming to you from Canberra because I'm heading up there for a friend's wedding. So, yeah, I don't head off until Tuesday of next week, so I've got a whole week to go. I'm not really sure what the week ahead is going to hold, except for I seem to have lots of lunches with people, which is really nice. Look forward to that. But yes, get some lots of work done and prepare to go up to Canberra, visit my lovely daughter and celebrate Mel's and Pete's wedding, which is, yeah, going to be really cool. Anyway, so I will chat to you from our great capital city, hopefully, next week. And in the meantime, I hope you really enjoy and are challenged by this interview with Ellie. Welcome everyone. Today is my first time doing an interview outside. We're in South Hobart on the Rivulet track and I'm excited to do that. And today I'm talking to Ellie, who I don't know very well at all because we met on the street last Friday when I was buying takeaway food and Ellie was helping clean out her house. No, you were carrying bulbs around the shopping centre.
Yes.
So we got chatting because my husband Moz teaches Ellie's son Jonathan, and we had a bit of a chat. And I thought this chat is so fantastic, I just have to get Ellie on the podcast. And Ellie said yes. So that's very cool.
Here we are.
So here we are. And yes, so I'm hoping that the microphone that we have will help with any extraneous noise from being outside, but I think it will. And I'm very excited to talk to Ellie this morning. So welcome.
And it's beautiful here.
Okay, so we always start in the same place. How did you become a Christian?
How did I become a Christian? I was 23 and desperate to prove that God did not exist. I had had a hard time during my childhood and youth. My dad was an ex-prisoner of war.
Right.
And so we grew up in a pretty violent surrounding. And yeah, it was a sort of hidden story inside of me that never got out, but I struggled with it. And I always had the dream of becoming a missionary when I was 8. And yeah, I knew one day that dream would come true. But all these questions I had in my mind, and anyway, when I was 23, I thought, well, life is too hard, and I wanted to commit suicide. And yeah, 1.5 years, I had several meetings with pastors and friends, and they all pointed me to the cross, but I couldn't do much with it. And one weekend, it was at an Anglican church meeting in the southern part of Holland. I just threw it all out to God and said, if you don't show up, I really am going to throw myself for the next train. Mm. And that whole weekend actually was a whole testing of God. It was Sunday afternoon, 10 minutes before the finishing of that special conference, that God showed up in such a miraculous way that everybody in my surroundings said that was a miracle of God, literally, mm. with a manifestation of God's power mm. hitting through the roof.
Wow.
So that was in winter time, and we had lightning through the roof.
Wow.
Yes, and God's voice was audibly heard in the room. And from that moment on, my whole life changed. And my mum called me the next morning, and she said, oh, Ellie, sorry for the early call, but she said, you were not going to be here after the weekend if God didn't show up. She said, you answer the phone, so you're here, you're alive. Mm. And she said, can you tell me all about it? And I said, no, mum, I had to promise the leadership, because it was so extraordinary what happened, to keep silent for wow. 3 weeks. And in those 3 weeks, God confirmed that it was him. And yeah, so I knew I had a message to share from that moment on, and that's 34 years ago now.
Wow, that's amazing. What wisdom to say, keep silent about this, make it real inside first,
yeah.
before it was
yeah.
tested. Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Mm.
So Moz said something about you working in South America. So that was in the Netherlands, obviously.
Yeah, that yeah. was in the Netherlands. I prayed and fasted for a husband with a missionary heart. And, yeah, so we met, married, and within a year sold his business to go into missions. We did a DTS, a discipleship training school, with YWAM mm-hmm. of the University of the Nations, and which trains young people worldwide to go into missions. And so we did. We went to Brazil to work with street children, because we had asked for a ministry with mm. work among children. And we lived in Brazil for 5 years, adopted a girl there. She was a teenager already, but until today she is my daughter, mm. has her family there. And
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. Like, mm. so was that all spent with YWAM there?
That was with another organization. Yeah, mm. we before we left, we had to hear from God. We had to hear a word, hear which direction He wanted us, and we decided to fast for a few days. And I just asked God. I said, it's just impossible to find the right organization with whom to go out into missions. And is it Brazil? If this is you and we are hearing you right, God, could you please, in Jesus' name, let an organization call us and invite us
oh, wow.
to a ministry in Brazil?
Mm.
And that's well, what else can you ask? Yeah. I mean, that's a clear question.
Yes.
And the same day, the same morning, because I keep notebooks,
yes.
and I keep them for 34 years. I had written it down black and white, and end of the day, we got a phone call out of the blue from an unknown to us, unknown organization, saying that they had heard about us preparing for missions, and that we had been in Brazil and worked with children there. Through our DTS, through mm. the outreach time. And they invited us to come and work with them in Rio de Janeiro.
Wow.
So, yeah, the answer was there. And, within no time, we went and lived and worked in Brazil for 5 years.
Yeah, wonderful.
Mm.
And Did you have children of your own?
We did not have children of our own, no. My husband had five children of his first marriage. And, yeah, so I did have a heart full of children, but, children of us together we didn't have yet.
So you took five children to Brazil?
No, they were adults already. Right, okay. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Just trying to get this clear in my head.
I know.
Yes. So what happened after Brazil?
We went back to Holland. My husband became a pastor of a church, and together we have worked in that church for 5 years. He set up a pastoral platform and a pastoral counseling office in that town and in that little city. And 1 year after he changed jobs, he passed away. So that was a whole turnaround.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's part of the story.
It's part of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how, let's just go, I'm just following where the story leads.
Yeah.
So was he ill and passed away? Or?
No, we, if we could give it a title, it would be God Has a Voice and He Speaks. It's in 34 years, from the moment I was desperate and needing God to show up, He has shown up in each chapter, each new chapter of life. And when my husband had transferred to a new job from being a pastor to his own business, setting up pastoral networks and platforms through Holland, in relationship with a Christian organization for pastoral counseling. Out of the blue, he had visions of God, and I, in the same period, had nightmares of him passing away. And my husband was a person who never saw, smelled, or sensed anything of God. He was just a steady believer, whereas I was the person always seeing, smelling, dreaming, being very sensible to the to that side of God. I would see visions, have dreams. So when he said to me, "Oh, Ellie, I just had this amazing thing happening to me," I said to him, "What happened?" Because I just had the most horrible nightmare of four people passing away. And we talked about what had happened. And he said, "Well, Ellie, you actually sat up straight in bed and you screamed your head off. I think the whole neighborhood could have heard you." And I said, "Well, it was the most horrible nightmare I ever had in my life." And he said, "No, actually, what happened, you yelled, 'Receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit now.' And then you fell back in bed." And I said, "What?" "I can't remember that." And he said, "Yes." And at that moment, a holy presence higher than the door came in and came to my side of the bed and called me. And I said, "What?" So we talked about this weird thing happening, and we both concluded, well, God is here and he's doing something, and he's going to do something. But what is he saying? And at that time we translated it by saying, well, he will convert, four people will come to Christ.
Yes.
But it was not what he had said in my dreams.
Yes.
And this would repeat itself. So every other week, I would have a nightmare. And in the nightmare, a police car would drive up to my house. Two policemen would step out. They would ring my doorbell and tell me that my husband had passed away. And my husband would come home in reality, in real life, and tell me the story that he had to stop the car because this holy presence was in the car and calling him. And so it was just confusing. It was weird. I just could not believe that this was God, because death wasn't part of our life.
Mm.
And it just wasn't welcome, the message in the dreams. And, we decided to separate 3 nights for each of us to talk to the other and just, express ourselves in what we were feeling, sensing, but also confessing things to one another that we had to confess to just clear the way between us. Because if this would be a work from the enemy, we didn't want to give it any ground.
Mm.
So we confessed to one another what was between us and cleared our ways. And the third night we separated for the Lord himself to come. So we just sat in the room and waited.
Mm.
And that moment came.
Mm.
Yeah, my husband pointed at the door and he said, Ellie, that Holy Presence is walking in now. And I said, I can sense it.
Mm.
I can feel him come in. And we just stayed in silence for 1.5 hour until my husband spoke up and said, Ellie, I want you to know something. I sense that God is calling me home. I sense my time on earth is over. And I said, That's impossible. That's not God. That's the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, it's God. And I just struggled with it. And I said, it's not God. And he said, your nightmares are preparing you because God speaks to you in visions and dreams. So he gives you dreams to prepare you that I'm passing away. And I said, no, you have to go to the doctor. This is not God. God will not speak about death. And our boys, they are 5 and 7.
Mm.
And I said, what is he saying? And he said, he says, come. I can hear him calling day and night. Come, come. And I said, well, if he calls you, come, you just say, no. And he said, yeah, but I can't.
I can't. This is
and
God.
I said, what? Did you give an answer? Did you say yes? And he said, I said yes. And I said, how can you? How can you say yes to God and tell him that you're coming home? What am I going to tell the boys? They're 5 and 7.
Mm.
Are you just sneaking out and giving up? I said, no. This is for our marriage.
Mm.
This is to turn our marriage around. And he said, no, I'm going. And I want you to know that I'm going. And I just said, well, I'm going to go to the attic. I'm going to pray for hours. I'm going to pray the whole night. And I'm going to beg God, if this is God, to turn this whole thing around, because this is too crazy for words.
Mm.
And if it's the enemy, I'm going to rebuke everything.
Mm.
And I said, we've cleared the way and it should just all stop. So he went to bed and I could hear him snore through the whole night. And I was in the attic just on my knees, begging my heart out. And I'm a person who prays and intercedes.
Mm.
If there were things we had spoken them out, we had cleared the way for God to come with grace, to come with mercy. And yes, there were difficulties in our marriage, and there was sinning, there was guilt, there was regret, there were things that were really not right. But by confession, by cleaning the way, by receiving the forgiveness of one another and of God, there could be reconciliation. And on those grounds, I knew I could ask God to turn this around.
Mm.
But there was one thing I could not turn around, and that was my husband's yes.
Mm.
So in the end, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I said to God, I've done it all. I've done what I could. We have done what we could. But my husband is an adult. And if he says yes, then who am I to say no? Because if this whole thing, everything that's been happening with us in the last couple of weeks, if that has been you, if it is you calling him and he says yes, here you have him. I give him to you.
Wow.
That day, my husband went to work bit before 7 in the morning. I could see him drive off from the window in the attic. And that was the last I've seen of him. At 2, a bit past 2, a police car drove into our driveway. Two policemen stepped out. They rang the doorbell. I could not believe it. It was too hard to believe that this was true. Mm. But I opened the door. Mm. I pointed at them and I said, I know what you've come to tell me. My husband has passed away. And they said, that's impossible. It just happened. It's impossible for you to know this. And I said, I have a story for you. Mm. You need to hear. God speaks. Mm. God has a voice. And this is what has happened.
Wow.
But then, the years after, I struggled with God.
Oh, yeah.
I struggled with God. Because I had to find out where in the Word, where does God show that bad things are going to happen to people that follow Him.
Mm.
It's just not fair. Mm. If we do right and we ask forgiveness, we clear our ways, shouldn't God?
Yeah.
And that's the wrong word. Shouldn't is not in God's vocabulary.
He's God.
He's God. Nice. And by studying the Word with hurting eyes, brokenness, I could finally receive God's truth about women. I could finally receive God's truth about marriage. I could finally receive God's truth about us humans. That all our striving, all our works, even our love for God, they're never enough. Because it's not through works of love, through showing up on time, serving, nothing we can add to His gift of love, His works of goodness, His gift of His Son Jesus to us. And He showed me that if you read the Bible, if you read it really well, it's a storybook of real life stories. It's real people. And some people had to tell warnings, the old prophets, they had to tell warnings to kings, to servants of God, that things wouldn't end well if they would not turn their way. And in my husband's case, this is what I struggled with. I felt the one who had to turn her way, whereas in my marriage, I was always asking God, can you turn my fate? Can you turn our fate?
Yeah.
Because we also had struggles in our marriage, and I wanted it to be turned around. But I said to God, this is too rigid. And I found God as a God who is omnipotent, who has the authority to do in our lives as He pleases, which doesn't sound nice to Christians out of the evangelical world or charismatic world, but He's a loving God.
Yes.
So if you wrap this Word of God, if you wrap it up, His Word, put your life, your storybook into God's hands, you'll see there's love through it all. There's love through the suffering. There's love through the giving. There's love through the losses. There's love. And it may be hard for people to hear when they have gone through the loss of their loved one, when they've gone through the loss of family members, friends. I've gone through that loss. And I can say that I've really struggled with it.
And come to a place where you know that God is all-powerful, but God is all-loving.
Well, I can really say only under protest. Only under protest. Because every time I would say, oh, God, I give it to you, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
My feelings wouldn't follow.
Mm.
And that's where we come to the point, how did we come here,
yes,
in this beautiful place, this beautiful island?
That's the next question.
Yes. This island is a true answer to prayer. It's a place of healing. Yes, a place of being able to be with God uninterruptedly, and I didn't want to go. My two sons, one Sunday morning, they were 11 and 13, so this was a few years after my husband had passed away. One Sunday morning said to me, "Mum, can we ask you a few questions? What would you do if God would call you to Australia, would give you..." Yes, that's what I did. Like, what? "And would give you a job for him. He would give you the tickets and we would want to go as well." Those were the exact questions. I just laughed and I said, "Well, simple answer, no, I wouldn't go." And Josh, my eldest, 13, he said, "Mom, haven't you always said that we need to pray about things?" I said, "Oh, Josh, I'm so much older than you are, and I know God pretty well during these years. There's a timeline in my life which shows 20 years of relationship with Brazil. I speak Portuguese fluently, and I've got a daughter there with her family. Our foundation has been helping uni students over there with a scholarship, and God wouldn't change his plans."
Yeah, so if we're going anywhere, we're going to Brazil. Is that the...
Yes.
Yes.
I said, "God has called me for poor countries and not for a rich country like Australia." Yes. So that was my answer. He said, "Mom, you have not prayed, and I believe you should pray about this. Promise that you pray. Promise that you pray for a week, Mum." And I said, "Okay, I'll pray for a week. But don't be disappointed if next week my answer will be exactly the same."
Yep.
"Because I really do not believe God changes his plans." Because he's prepared me for this.
Yep.
And I prayed in that week, and God showed me that before my marriage, I had been up front with 4,000 youth in Utrecht in a conference in Holland, and put up my hand and said, "You can send me anywhere, do anything without conditions." And I had limited him to Brazil. So my answer was, confession. And I had to turn back to that call to go anywhere where he would send me, do anything without conditions. So that was my reply to Josh the Sunday after. And the boy said, "Yay, we're going to Australia." And I said, no, God just used you, just prepared my heart to go anywhere, but we're not really going. But what happened, and this is the miraculous thing of it, that same afternoon I got an invitation to work in Burnie, Tasmania. And
did you even know where that was?
No, I had to look it up. I knew it was an island. And I was invited to work here with Youth with a Mission, a Mercy Ministry branch, overseeing many projects in Southeast Asia and Australia. And I actually could do 100,000 times more than I could with my own foundation. So it was a God gift.
Mm.
And when I got that invitation, I just said to God, "Well, this is too crazy for words." Just too crazy for words. And I just put my hand on that invite to work here. And I just said to God, "If this is you, God, within 3 days, you'll give me the tickets. Three tickets within 3 days. You've done that before. When you spoke and the whole world would not even know about it, I would say to God, within 3 days, you give me the tickets." And he had given me those tickets before. So what happened? Monday, I got the first ticket. A complete surprise.
Yeah.
One invitation to come to Australia to celebrate Christmas here. But because I've got the two boys, I said to God, "Well, they're coming with me. So you've got two more days, God." And Tuesday, I was offered the two tickets of the boys out of the blue by another person who gave return tickets to Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's God. He works his own way. Yeah. You can't stop him. You can't change. Well, yes, there are possibilities of changing his plans, but that's another subject.
Yes. But and it's, It's a really good idea to fall in line with his plans.
Yes.
They're very
yes.
well-planned plans.
Yeah. Yeah. So within 9 months, we did have our Christmas here. We met and it all clicked. 9 months later, I got my visa to work here. So we moved to Tassie. And, 6 years on, we're here now. And
So you were in Burnie for some time.
Yeah, we've been there for several years. And then we moved to Hobart. Yeah.
Yep. Down here.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of volunteering down here, but it's not for YWAM anymore, is that
no.
right? So yeah.
Because with this last visa, I'm not allowed to work.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm available. I mean, I'm alive. I'm healthy, and as I said, I had put up my hand to go anywhere, do anything without conditions. I've tried to serve as much as possible any doing anything, cleaning houses, babysitting, helping in church, running playgroup, helping in the kids ministry, and just being available. Yeah.
And I guess you'd be likely to recommend that to people as a way of life.
Delicate question. It's delicate because we have our own way of thinking how God has equipped us with gifts. For example, I always had the desire to finally get my diploma. I was actually studying theology in that third year when Josh turned up with that question. And so that was a disturbance, but in the third year of my studies, I just suddenly had to give that up, whereas I thought, hasn't God given me a brain? Isn't this the time to dig into it and get that piece of paper and, show the world I've used my gift?
Yeah.
And but God had other plans. Yeah. So, what I can say is I can only say God is just so gracious. God is so good. And to come to the point where you say, I've got nothing. I don't hold anything back anymore. My hurts, my sinning, even my regrets, my unforgiveness towards myself, my unforgiveness towards people around me. Whether it be my children, my husband, my family, whether it be people who unwillingly have hurt you, to come to the point where you surrender it all to God, I think that's the best place. And out of that attitude, you find God again. You come back at the cross again, at the foot of the cross. You see Jesus again, but in a deeper, intenser way. And out of that, you can only serve. You recognize situations. You just put everything aside. So your own desires become submissive towards the only desire that you have to just serve God. And that's serving wherever there is a need. And you become quicker at it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it does use all of you. Like,
yes,
he's quite happy to use our brains, I think, for his glory as well as
So that's my prayer, is to return to studies and finish it. But it's all in God's hands. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. Yes,
yeah. I think it's be willing to clean the toilets and then see
I've done that.
What he'll do with you as well.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, how does your faith show itself in your everyday life now?
My faith is in the willingness to testify about God, whereas I love praying, I love interceding, and it's also an act of obedience to intercede. I've gone through many things in my life. Each chapter has had its own difficulties, and there's always a group of people. This is something you may hear for the first time, but I believe in what I go through. I can bless somebody else by praying for them immediately. It's it's even become a habit. Like when I go through a difficulty, like now I'm leaving my children behind in Australia, I'm going back to Holland because my visa finishes. I believe there are people who are suffering a separation from their children for a longer time. So I just stop in the moment and think about where other people are going through, immediately take my mind off myself and intercede for those situations where parents are separated from their children, grandparents are separated from their grandchildren maybe, and yeah, maybe one day in heaven I may hear, meet the people that I've prayed for, but that's not my ultimate goal. My Corrie ten Boom, she's my number one example. When she was alive here on earth, and she always said, if God has called you for intercession, be sure he will use you in that area. And I hear what she's saying. I want to be faithful in that. So as I said before, my father was a former prisoner of war. Because of all the stories I know about it, these whole 34 years, I've been praying for people imprisoned for their faith, but also people imprisoned unjustly, but also people who are imprisoned because of what they've done wrong. Trafficked children, this whole area of people having been ripped off their rights. We need prayer, and God is a God who listens. In Psalm 116, he says, he bends over when we pray, when we ask. He bends over. He goes, what? Yes. Speak up. Yes. And he wants us to pray. He says, when we ask something in Jesus' name, and Jesus himself even said when he was on earth, use my name. Use it. If we don't use it to ask him together with two or three, what's going to change? In James, it's even written, you don't have because you don't ask. And, well, that's very black and white.
Yes.
Very simple, but it's true.
Yeah, for sure.
So have you stopped complaining and started asking?
Yeah.
And that's a lesson I have learned. I had to learn. So these 6 years in Tassie have been the turnaround in my emotions, turnaround in also my behavior, bad characteristics I had because of hurt, bad escapes I had in my thoughts, my dealing with problems. I've been stripped again of myself, but clothed again with God's love and grace. And he has a voice and he speaks.
So I don't even feel like you. We were talking before we started recording, and you said I've been through up to questions 1 to 5, and then there's
more.
I'm thinking maybe you've already answered them, but I'll ask them anyway in case there's something more you want to say. One of the questions I ask is, when do you feel closest to God?
In nature. In nature. Creation started with nature. I'm always reminded when I see the trees that we should praise him like the trees do. Stretch ourselves out to the heavens, look up. Stretch ourselves up. Don't go down. And let the leaves fall. Let them just fall. It's healthy. Everything that's old and even rotten, it will break off and let it. And if the storm comes and rips, tears things away from your life, let it. If there's a river nearby, like here the Riverlet, I've seen it flowing over and taking all the dead branches That's also what a river does. Mm. It takes away, but it's healthy to have the old taken away. And that's what nature does. God speaks through nature.
Mm.
Look up to the sky, listen to the birds. The birds sing their song as God created them, and maybe we should learn from the birds to sing the song, take it on our wings to places where nobody has heard God's voice.
Mm.
That's freedom.
There's so many, you know, what it says, the heavens declare the glory of God,
yes,
and the earth speaks.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can go out in nature, you hear the message that God's telling you at the time.
Yeah.
So I often hear the birds and hear God saying, you know, remember you are of more value than many sparrows.
Yeah.
Look at the birds of the air. Yeah. They do not, you know, sow or reap or gather in barns, but your heavenly Father looks after them.
Yeah.
And you think, yeah.
And like, I have my backpack with me. And if you carry a notebook, if you carry the word, even if it's on your phone, just any moment you could just sit down. If God speaks to you, you just quickly scribble it down, or you can sit for an hour every time in a different place. You can meet with people. You can open your mouth, give your testimony. It's my way of where I feel that God speaks to me, where he's the closest.
And finally, if there was one thing about God and Christianity that you wish everybody knew, what would be that thing?
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, God has a voice and he speaks.
Wonderful. I think that's that's awesome. So thank you for sharing your testimony.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful I got to speak to you before you
likewise thank
moved
you
on to whatever God has for you next,
which
will be very exciting to see.
God knows.
he does.
Yeah,
awesome. Thank you very
thank
much.
You
thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.